Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My message tonight is based upon those little words, those few words in toward the end there where it says, my cup runneth over, my cup runneth over. Humanity today, when we look at society, when we look at people around about us, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, whatever you see on television, what you see in newspapers, in magazines, you realize that humanity is not satisfied with what it's got. It wants more. It's like scripture says, it's like the jaws of hell, it's like the gates of hell, ever open, crying out for more and more. So it's like a bottomless pit, and whatever comes along is provided for the world is never satisfied. So we've got tremendous technologies today that we didn't have 100 years ago. I mean, just over 100 years ago, man couldn't fly around the world, but we can do that. I mean, not only that, but land on the moon now and go to distant planets. Technology where we can see somebody from across the world in a split second, or talk to somebody in that way. But man is still not satisfied. So man's cup is always dry, or the best we could give him is that it's like a car running on empty. It's ready to fade, it's ready to go out. You know what it's been, it's like, isn't it, sometimes when you've been on a long trip and you look at your dial on your car, the fuel gauge, and you realize that, well, I hope I get to the end to get my destination because the fuel is getting very low. And that's what mankind is like today, running on empty. But Christians are not meant to be like that. We're not to be empty, but we're to trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts instead of the supplies, the rich supplies that the world can offer us. I'm reminded of Lot. You know the story of Lot and Abraham. But Lot decided he saw the pleasant, luscious lands, the ground, the fields that lay before Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose that. And he chose what was good to the eyes, what seemed to be the best. And, of course, it turned out to be worse for him because he lost everything in the end. He came away losing his wife and really making a mess of his whole life because, you know, what his daughters did. So we're to trust in the Lord. And he gives us, David said here, my cup runneth over. And I don't think that is just a statement, a promise for David. That should be also a declaration of us too. I mean, of all people, we should declare our prosperity in Christ, that the Lord provides for all of our needs. Our cup runs over. No, we don't have all the world's gifts and the world's riches and all the things that rich people have. And, you know, maybe we do desire more in our lives. But that's not what I'm talking about here. The blessings, the joys, the miracles of serving God. We've got an overflowing cup, a cup that runneth over, that the world cannot ever have, can never know about, because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And you know something, in the world, they may just have enough to live on. They may, you know, obviously people are like that. They just want enough to live on. But we haven't got enough to live on. According to David, we've got more than enough. We've got an overflowing cup. That means that we can share what we've got with others. And that's the wonderful thing about this psalm. There's so many things in the psalm that we could look at tonight. But that's the wonderful truth, that we can say in our hearts, my cup runs over. First of all, let's look at dry cups. Those who don't know the Lord as Savior are tapping into the wrong source of power, or if you like, in this sense, the wrong place to provide their needs, the supply. They can't fulfill the needs. And so that's why they run around trying to find the latest thing to fulfill their needs. But when they're filled with the world's goods, it never doesn't satisfy them, because the effect of what they get is doesn't fill the void in their soul. And so there's a travel, man travels through life trying to find that which only Christ can supply. It's one preacher many years ago, so I don't know his name, said there's a God or a Christ-shaped hole in each person's life. And man tries to fill that hole with many things, but only Christ can fill it. Only Christ can fulfill that life. But they don't want to turn to Christ, do they? I mean, that's the last thing they want. They want to, what is the word they say? Enjoy ourselves. We want to enjoy ourselves. We want to have fun. Maybe when I get really old, and even then, they don't do it. When I get really old, when it gets too late to do anything else, then I'll turn to the Lord. Then I'll think about Christ. So they're not satisfied. They know they're not satisfied, but they think that they're having fun, that they're having, they're really enjoying their lives. But the problem here is that everything the world gives them, it says, my cup runs over. So we've got to think of ourselves as the cup. The problem is with man is that the cup is leaking. The system is leaking. And no matter how much is poured in, it leaks away. And that's why Scripture tells us in Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out systems, broken systems that can hold no water. Now we see that on a spiritual level very easily today, but it also, I think, applies itself to the physical level too, with the way people try to get things. Things will satisfy their needs, and they don't. So if we put it this way, we can have the wealth of the world, we can have all the riches, we can have perfect health and fame, but we'll still not be happy. There used to be a saying years ago, it's not used so much today, something like, I wouldn't give it up for all the tea in China, whatever that meant. But that was a phrase they used to use years ago. I wouldn't give it up for all the tea in China. Because people back years ago, before all the technology, were a little bit more satisfied with life than they are now. Because there was no TV, there was no radio, and if there was a TV, if you actually you had to go down to Mr. Smith, who had a few bob, to watch the TV in their house, you really was envious of a child who used to have a television set and your family didn't have one. Or a game. I remember the first computer game I ever saw. I think it was in Alan Davis's house and in your house. And all it was dump, dump, a little white dots clicking from one side of the screen to the other, some kind of like a tennis game. It was a Sinclair. I mean, no child would look at that today. And if you put a Sinclair with this little silly game, the black screen, everything was black, the words on the screen were white on black, and you couldn't do anything with it. But if you give that child today, they'd laugh at you, throw it, think you'd probably put you for child abuse, to give them something like that. But that was why it was all, and you thought that's wonderful, what a wonderful piece of technology. But we looked out for things like that because we thought they were great. But in one sense, because life was much easier, people were maybe a little bit more satisfied. But as people, especially as we start seeing American culture on our televisions and people become greedy, and that's the way it is all over the world, isn't it? And I'm not mocking the Americans tonight. But it is the way it is all over the world. As any nation that sees what goes on in America, they want to be like the Americans. They want to be like what they think is the rich. And that's why in our country, in decades gone by, in centuries gone by, people would flock to London. And not literally, but they thought that the streets were paved with gold. That's where you're going to make your fortune because of They wanted something to satisfy their lives. But with the wealth, the health, the fame, it doesn't make them happy, and it's evident that they don't possess them anyway. None of those things assist them, make them better people. Those who want to be rich, those who want to be wealthy, those who all they ever want to do is make money, more money, they're not contented. They don't know true contentment. I put a book online this week on our website for book readers, for the electronic book readers, and it's titled The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And it's from the 1800s, and I mean to read that one because it's one of those things that fit in, one of those topics that fit in to what I'm talking about tonight. So they might have riches untold, but they're the poorest souls of all. I mean, look at all the people who've become rich through lotteries or maybe through just family inheritance. What's it done for them? What have they achieved? Nothing. And you see people who get rich overnight through one means or another, and they ruin their lives, don't they? I mean, if you were given £1 million, I'm sure you could do an awful lot with it, but there have been people who, within a year, have wasted all of it, bought all the cars, bought the houses, gone on the fancy holidays to satisfy them, and it comes to nothing. They own the external riches, and because of that, they only own fading joys, joys that quickly fade away like the mist. So such discontentment makes them greedy. They want more. And that's why some people, when they get rich overnight, or people who are rich by other means, they try to use the money to make themselves even richer. So you find people would go over to Las Vegas maybe, or some gambling site to get more money. Because they're not happy. They spend and spend to satisfy the needs and achieve nothing. Then, of course, what riches does, it leads people to more vices than poor people can be involved in. I mean, but poor people might want to get involved in those vices, but they don't have the money to do it. So then they will go and rob and steal and do all kinds of things to get it. But many of the vices that we know today in society is it comes from the rich and the famous and people today who don't know, who haven't got all those riches. They want to emulate those people. They want to dress like them. They want to behave like them. They want to do all those silly things like them too. And when it comes to disobeying God, well, the masters of that, because they see the rich and the famous like that too. Because I mean, well, let's face it, with you've seen all the shows, maybe all the films of the past, and the rich and the famous, the rich people, I should say, they entertain themselves in luxurious parties and whatever, and that's all the appearances. That's all they live for. And unfortunately, that has come down into general society too. It's one of the reasons why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Unfortunately, though, the cups of many Christians are running dry in this era too. We hear all the time of discontented Christians. Christians are not happy with the church, not happy with somebody they know. It's all moaning and groaning all the time. I mean, one of the things that I think we need to take on board is this. I know it's easier to moan and groan than it is to say thank you, to give praise. But we better start doing it, thanking God for the things that he's done for us, instead of always looking at the negative things in life. And you see, you know people that they, Christians, are not happy, because they don't go and look and see what the Lord has done for them and constantly remind themselves of what the Lord has done for them. Paul said, the things in this present world, the things that I'm suffering, the torment, the tribulation, they can't be compared with the glories that are going to be revealed in us. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that the Lord has done for us, is doing for us, and things that we are beyond our imagination, because our mind, our heart, our the flesh just cannot understand and take on board the glories of heaven. It's like when Moses said, "Lord, I want to see you in all your glory." And God said, "No, you can't. No one can look upon me and live. No one can see my glory and live." But one day we're going to see that. So it's beyond our mind. It's beyond our understanding. The eyes haven't seen and the ears haven't heard. So that the church, the Christians today, try to fill the void in their lives with what the world does. Instead of, they've got the wonderful opportunity to fill their lives with Christ. Now, the world can't do that unless they come to Christ. So Christians can automatically do it. Fill their lives with Christ. Fill that void with Christ so that they can be contented. So they can say, my cup runs over. And so a contented Christian is a very uncommon creature. I mean, how many Christians do you know who are contented? How many Christians do you know that don't complain about things? Very few, isn't it? This can't be blamed on Christ. Let me just go back a little. So what Christians do today is they try to apply the methods of the world to make them happy. So they want the drink, they want the parties, they want the merrymaking that the world has, and they think that way we will be happy too. But they don't get happy at all. In fact, they ruin their lives doubly, because not only have they offended Christ, but they're ruining themselves. I mean, the world is ruining themselves. And that's bad enough, isn't it? That sends them to a lost eternity. But Christians are not only doing exactly the same thing, but are ruining their relationship with the Lord, and that's even worse. That is very sad, I believe. So Christ and his church can't be blamed for this. It's not the fault of Christ. It's the fault of two things, I suppose. It's the result of weak teaching in the church. Or if the teaching is sound, it's the result of failing faith, that people don't listen anymore. They don't listen to the Word of God. And I don't mean just listening on a Sunday night or in a study. I'm talking about that a few days later, a week later, a month later, the Word of God is still being applied to your soul. You're still listening to what you read, to what you heard. You're still listening to what the Lord spoke to you weeks past. That's the type of listening I'm talking about. And it's that faith, that type of faith that can't fail. So the pursuit of fun rather than faith is the defining element of the destruction of the church today. Christians simply do not love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and strength. I wish it was the opposite. I wish in some sense I didn't have to have a negative aspect in saying that. But it is true. Christians simply do not love the Lord their God. So the cup is dry. The cup runs dry. Or the running on empty. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm often bemused by people who quote scripture. I mean, the scripture is quoted that without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's a nice thing to say, saying, well, let's have more faith. But that's not what the verse says. I've seen this a few times over the last few weeks. People quote one bit of the scripture, but they don't go on to see what all the scripture says. And by not looking at all the scripture, they lose the importance of the text. And this text says, yes, without faith it's impossible to please him. So let's get more faith, of course. But how do we do that? Well, he gives us the answer. Diligently seek him. Well, I know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I think that what I've just said to you it applies itself to that. We hear the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, then let's keep on hearing, because when we do that, that's how we diligently seek him. We seek him through his word. I mean, what other way do we seek him? Do you know? What other way can we seek God? Well, of course, there are other ways, but they're not ways authorized by Scripture. We can make ourselves a little idol and seek God that way, like the religionists do. The people of Israel tried that one on. Make a golden calf to worship God. He even called it the name Jehovah. But when God heard it, he was displeased. He was wrath, full of wrath, and wanted to destroy them. So that doesn't work. People try to go on retreats. I like that statement, you know, an awful lot. I love it. It just proves to me that they don't know the Lord. If they need to retreat. Christians don't go on retreats. We go on advances. We don't need to get away in a silly place where lots of people go on, talk about their problems and difficulties. We are meant to advance, always be advancing. Now, I know what the word retreat means in that sense. But we don't need to get with a group of people who just talk about all the miseries, well, because they hurt and because there's problems. And we shouldn't be like that. We should be advancing in the Lord. Scripture also says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That's not the experience of many Christians I know. Very few Christians I know. Listen again, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." I mean, that is a life-transforming verse if we take it on board and we apply it to our Christian lives. So we see a little of what a dry cup is about. What about the full cup or the overflowing cup? Well, in Colossians 3, verse 11, there's a part of the verse which says this: Christ is all. Christ is all. And if you want to be fulfilled in your Christian life, then Christ must be all, not part. I mean, if I can put it this way, you can never have too much of Christ. So you never outdo him. You can never be too Christian. You can be too religious. We see that in Scripture. You can be too fanatical. You can be too high-minded and lots of things. But you can never have enough of Christ. You can never be too much a Christian. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. Oh, you're trying to be holy. You're trying to be too righteous. No, you'll never be too righteous. You'll never be too holy. You'll never be too perfect, if I can use that terminology. No, because we can never have enough of Christ. Because Christ, if that is true, Christ is all. That is the Christian's desire. For through him, we could never have all we need. Or should I say, without him, we could never have all we need. We need Christ to supply all of our needs. Listen to what Scripture says in Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" What things are we talking about here? Well, we can come to God in prayer. We can pray. We can ask God for things, and we often do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as we're not greedy, as long as we're not asking stupidly, to heap it upon our lusts, as James says. When we come to God in that way, God has promised and God is willing to give us all that we need. David said, "My cup runneth over." That means there's more than enough. So God can give us more than we need. Now, if that starts to sound to you like it's, well, that doesn't sound right to me. Surely just a little is enough, or just sufficient is enough. But what I'm talking about here is that it's Christ. Christ is all. So enough is never enough. Just as the world is not satisfied with what the world provides, the people in the world are not satisfied with what the world provides for them. So we should never be satisfied even with what God has given us. know that sounds a little bit strange, but you see, God supplies all of our needs. But it's a continual, it's an experience, a lifelong experience, and there's never got to be a cut-off point. So we continuously go back to God to supply all of our needs. He supplies all of our needs according to His will. For what reason? Well, you know, to bless us, because He wants to bless us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I do understand it's on a spiritual nature there. But I also think, I also believe that when I read, how shall He not also freely give us with Him, freely give us all things? I think He's talking about the physical too. So we can come to God with our sicknesses and pray that the Lord will heal us. We can come to God when we're in need in a financial way and let the Lord supply of our needs. Let's face it, if we're trusting in Him and if Christ is all in our lives, we will understand that if we don't get it, then the Lord doesn't want us to have it, and we're not discontented. We're contented with Christ. So there's no, as they say, well, there's no harm in asking. I remember years ago when the church got broken into, some of you will remember, and overnight, or 2 nights, we had all the guitars and electronic stuff robbed from the church. We ended up with nothing in the church, with all the good things basically were gone overnight. And then I remember years before, somehow time before anyway, the people who owned Rushworth's music centre in town, for some reason, spoke to me. I'll tell you what it was about. For some reason, it got into the Echo in the newspaper that the church got broken into. I don't know how that happened. And they wrote a letter to me, Rushworth's, and said, you know, just come and ask, and we'll give you what you want. So I was too shy to do such a thing like that. But in the end, I did go down. I phoned them, Mr. Rushworth up, and he said to me, he said, well, it's only those who ask receive. And the man's not a Christian, but they're the words of Jesus, aren't they? Ask and you shall receive. And although I didn't get free, I got it very, very cheaply, a new guitar, and we were able to afford the other things after a while to replace them. Well, you know, it's going and asking, not asking people, but asking the Lord, because the Lord is more willing to give us than the world is willing to give. Because all the promises, all the precious promises are yea and amen in Christ. And we will have more than we would have more than we even pray for. That sounds a bit of a strange one, doesn't it? We'll have more than we pray for. But in Christ we will, because He supplies all of our needs. He knows what we need more than we do. The things we haven't even thought of, but the Lord has, and He's going to supply them. But listen what He said. It shall be given unto you good measure. That's sufficient, isn't it? Good measure. Pressed down. That's even better. Shaken together. And running over. Years ago, when you went to buy your flour, you didn't go to Tesco's and buy a bag of flour. You knew exactly what was in it. You'd go to the flour mill, or you'd go to the shop that had loose flour. You'd say, I want £1 of flour or £2 of flour. And the man would fill up a jug or a pot of some kind, and it'd come to the brim. But you know, if he gave it to you like that, it would not be £2. Because when you got home, it'd settle. And you find out that he's only give you £0.75, maybe, but you'd have to have it shaken together. You'd shake it so that it would fall, and then you'd fill it up more. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He doesn't just give us good measure. Good measure is great, but He gives us pressed down. So He presses the whole lot down, compacts it, and then shakes it together. And like David said, it runs over. So the Lord is not stingy. The Lord gives more than we need. That's the part of enjoying, that is a part of enjoying abundant Christian living. We will never run dry. Jesus said, we will have life, life more abundantly. So life is good, good to live the Christian life. But what about the abundant Christian life? There's a whole subject there that we need to think about. In fact, what we receive from the Lord is not only good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's actually more than we deserve. And when you get that in perspective, you realize that this is a fantastic blessing. Everything we receive from the Lord is more than we deserve. So let's not think that we just have to ask for temporal blessings. We're asking for eternal blessings. Blessings that will last for all of eternity. For David sees far, far beyond my cup runs over. He sees beyond that and he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I think that's the running over part. The goodness and the mercy of God all the days of our life. You may have heard of a few years ago, and I may have said myself, we have a tape somewhere, and certainly have a booklet of a pastor in America who we met when we were over there one time. Pastor Dan, not Dan, Tom Holohan, and in one of his tapes and one of his books, he mentions that he walked into a lift. And I don't know how he got into the lift, but you know the American lifts are bigger than ours. And he got in, but he didn't know anyone else there, so he started singing to himself, singing songs, singing choruses. And he heard someone cough behind him, and he jumped out of his skin, basically. And he turned around, he said, oh, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have jumped. He said, I really shouldn't have jumped, because surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. What he's saying is, the God is with me, why should I be afraid? If God is with me. But then David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful earthly blessings of his presence. God will supply all of our needs while we're here. But then we've got eternity in the house of the Lord to enjoy. Is our cup overflowing or is it dry? I can't answer. You can't answer your life for that. Estimate your life, but only you can do that. Maybe the reason why sometimes we're dry, or if we are dry, is that our view of God is too narrow. Our view of God may be narrowed through poor theology, or simply through unbelief. We just are not brave enough to believe that God can do things for us. Now, there are many things that I don't know if God's going to do. We hope and we pray, we trust, but I have no concrete knowledge of what God is going to do. But the things that he's promised in his word, they're the things we can trust him. But I do know this, that even though the things I pray for might not ever come to pass, I do know he supplies all the need. And I know like he's promised to be there all the way through life. That I don't have to be worried and fearful and anxious. I don't have to be worried about what's going to happen next, because I know that God is there. Possibly we become dry because we've removed our cup. David says, my cup runs over. We've removed our cup, as Psalm 36 verse 9 says, from the fountain of life. Once you remove your cup from the fountain of life, then you run dry. And when Jesus said that whoever drinks of this water I shall give and shall never be thirsty, it's not just a one-off supply of water that will last you for eternity. It's a constant supply. So we're to ever be in this dream. We're ever to be at the fountain. We're ever to be drinking from him. That way we'll never be thirsty. If you don't go to him to drink, then you're going to be thirsty. And Jesus said, whoever is thirsty, come to me and drink. Or maybe we've taken credit for the blessings we have received in our lives and have robbed God of glory. And that's caused a hindrance. That is a hindrance that God says, well, every time you receive a blessing, you go and praise yourself for it. Oh, because I prayed so wonderfully, or I had so much faith, or to show off to people. No, that's not the way it should go. All Christians ought to be able to sing with David, my cup runneth over. If we don't, if we can't, then there's something wrong, isn't there? It's likely that we're seeking fulfillment from another source rather than Christ. And so we feel dry in our hearts. But at the root of it's always going to be a lack of faith and a lack of dedication to God. Usually both, but sometimes either one of those, a lack of faith and a lack of dedication toward God. So let's not seek satisfaction the way the world seeks it, and don't try the same sources, because it doesn't work for them, never has, and it'll never work for us. But instead, let's turn to the Lord and allow Him to supply all of our needs. In closing, let me read this to you from Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In closing, what I get from that is this. There are many things in the world. They're not sinful in themselves. And really, there is no harm in us having them. But someone once said, there's no harm in having things, but don't let things have you. Let's stay in control, or better, let Christ be in control. Because if he supplies all of our needs, if God gives us all that we need, if we can say, my cup runs over, we're going to be happy and contented people. And even if we do have all the world's goods and riches, we'll never allow them to spoil our souls. So you see, God can supply all of our needs, both spiritually and physically, eternal and temporal. And as long as we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord, our cup will continue to run over. You'll always be fresh from the life-giving stream, and never will death, sourness, or corruption enter our souls.